The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you'll end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life? In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. Today's message is the essence of my message regarding creation. The overview. There's considerable debate regarding creation versus evolution, and erudite broadcasts that present the arguments for and against in detail, but generally using points that are difficult to understand and difficult to prove. This broadcast sets out to prove creation from everyday things. I'll commence by contending that engineering proves there's a creator. I'll contend that nature proves that it is a creator and that the human body proves there's a creator. I will assert that the periodic table of elements proves there's a creator and that air and water prove that there's a creator, as does the diversity of foods prove there's a creator. I'll claim that domestic animals prove there's a creator and that planet Earth and the universe prove there's a creator. I will contend that sexual reproduction proves there's a creator and that sexual lovemaking proves there's a creator, as does the existence of the clitoris. I will assert that DNA proves there's a creator, as does controlled randomness, and that discrete forms prove there's a creator. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant. I have over 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty, following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of about 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries, all one word, .org for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio, one word, .com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop down. For previous broadcasts or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio. There are about 4 podcast websites with back issues. So today we're going to talk about 2021-05-06, the essence of my message regarding creation. There is considerable debate regarding creation versus evolution, and erudite broadcasts that present the arguments for and against in detail, but generally using points that are difficult to understand and difficult to prove. This broadcast sets out to prove creation from everyday things. Many years ago, I got into an argument with the editor of the History Channel on TV about the reality of creation. I went down the road of quoting people I considered authoritative and quoting the Bible, and he responded that he regarded my authorities as charlatans and the Bible as irrelevant, and that left me high and dry. I then decided that I would see if I could prove creation based on my personal observations, things I could personally vouch for. So in 2004, I wrote an ebook, Creation versus Evolution, What is the Origin and Purpose of Man, in which I mostly achieved my objective. Since then, I've done a lot more thinking, a lot more observing, and this broadcast summarizes the essence of my conclusions through this journey. Point number one. I submit that engineering proves there's a creator. We live in a technically complex and sophisticated world where we are surrounded by engineering structures of great sophistication and complexity. If you have any knowledge of how these systems and structures are created, you will know that they take thousands of hours of time by highly qualified engineers and a wide diversity of highly qualified specialist disciplines to conceptualize, design, build, and operate. They do not come into existence by some random evolutionary process. They come into existence through a highly structured and highly systematic engineering design, construct, and operate process with large numbers of highly skilled professionals. The full message of this broadcast with the images is available if you look on the website, www.endtimeissueministries.org. I shared that with you earlier. The essence of my message regarding creation is one of the pages towards the top of the menu. So, I'm an engineer by training, and I have to tell you that it is no trivial matter to produce even a fairly simple structure. I once did major extensions to our house, and it takes a significant amount of time to design it with a lot of technical knowledge, and it takes a significant amount of time to build it with some important supervisory skills. Otherwise, it just doesn't happen. So how did all of this happen without some sort of engineering supervisor, engineering designer? Just doesn't make sense. There has to be a creator. I suggest for your consideration that this universe, this planet, the plants, the animals, and human beings required an even more sophisticated design, construct, and operate process than even the most advanced human engineered structures and systems. Therefore, I assert that there has to have been a creative agency, that is, a supernatural creator who brought this all into existence. It is also important to recognize that the design of these structures and systems evolves as engineers gain experience with designing, building, and operating them. I therefore assert that during the creative process, the Almighty Creator progressed in an evolutionary manner, progressively learning more and more about the systems and beings that he was created. Folks, think about it. He says his name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. Therefore, he says he's always been, forever. He's been there. And he was lonely, and he decided to create companions, friends. And to do that, he set about a very disciplined, very structured, very systematic approach where he created the macro environment, the universe, and then within the universe, he created solar systems and galaxies and so forth. And within those solar systems, he created planets where the gravitational and other forces were just right, that it stayed in some sort of equilibrium where he could create life. And it's quite possible that he experimented hundreds of times before this planet to get that right. Then nature proves there's a creator. Many people who do not believe in a creator nevertheless are enthusiastic about, quote, nature and seek to preserve nature. It is my contention that what we call, and they refer to Mother Nature, it is my contention that what we call nature or Mother Nature, being the topography, diversity of plants, diversity of animals, etc., is indicative of a very sophisticated and highly creative agency that conceptualized, designed, assembled, and deployed all that we can call nature. I therefore suggest for your consideration that the marvelous diversity of this thing we call nature could only have come about through the intervention of a supernatural creative agency. I further suggest for your consideration that nature came about in a structured evolutionary manner in which the most simple organisms were created first, with more and more sophisticated organisms or entities being created as experience was gained with the simpler organisms. This process potentially took over thousands and possibly hundreds of thousands of years. So my contention is that Father Yah, the Creator, systematically created the macro picture and then drilled down progressively and experimented with things until he got it just right in terms of the atmosphere and the gravitational forces, and he got a planet that he could create life on, and then he created life starting with the most simple organisms and simple plants and progressively experimented creating more complex things. So that's why the people who talk about evolution say that there's been evolution. Yeah, there has. There's evolutionary thinking on the part of the creator. It doesn't mean that there's not a creator. It just means that he worked systematically and progressively in an experimental way. Then the human body proves there's a creator. The human body is a massively complex system with overall complexity and sophistication way more complex than the most sophisticated and complex systems invented by human beings. In addition to this, it contains sophisticated mechanisms to allow it to replicate and create new human beings that are an exact merge of their parents. See the detailed analysis in the second appendix to the article on which this broadcast is based, which is on the website, as I said a few minutes ago. We take it for granted that there are dozens of medical and clinical specialities that are required to look after and maintain the human body when it fails to operate as expected as a consequence of illness, abuse, or other dysfunction. Yet many people do not recognize the overarching intelligence necessary to create all of this. We also take it for granted that human beings are perceived to be attractive in diverse ways in diverse cultures. How did this happen randomly? Again, we can see the creation of human beings took place in an evolutionary manner, with various animal forms, particularly apes, created progressively as the creator gained experience in getting to what he wanted to create. Folks, there's so much pointless argument from believers, sincere no doubt, who deny the reality of the evolutionary approach and insist on 7 days of 24-hour period. And by the same time, there are sincere believers in the opposite who reject the Almighty because of the stupidity of the believers. And it all just happened, which is, quite frankly, equally foolish. Then the periodic table of elements proves there's a creator. Wikipedia states, the periodic table, also known as the periodic table of elements, is a tabular display of the chemical elements, which are arranged by atomic number, electron configuration, and recurring chemical properties. The structure of the table shows periodic trends. The seven rows of the table, called periods, generally have metals on the left and non-metals on the right. Columns, called groups, contain elements with similar chemical behaviors. Six groups have accepted names as well as accepted numbers. For example, group 17 elements are the halogens and group 18 are the noble gases. Also displayed are four simple rectangular areas of blocks associated with the filling of different atomic orbitals. The elements from atomic numbers 1, hydrogen, to 118, aganison, have all been discovered or synthesized, completing seven full rows of the periodic table. The first 94 elements, hydrogen to plutonium, all occur naturally, though some are found only in trace amounts and a few were discovered in nature only after having been first synthesized in the laboratory. Elements 95 to 118 have only been synthesized in laboratories or nuclear reactors or nuclear explosions. The synthesis of elements having higher atomic numbers is currently being pursued. These elements will begin an eighth row, and theoretical work has been done to suggest possible candidates for this extension. Numerous synthetic isotopes, radioisotopes of naturally occurring elements have also been produced in laboratories. Wikipedia continues, the organization of the periodic table can be used to derive relationships between the various element properties and also to predict chemical properties and behaviors of undiscovered or newly synthesized elements. Russian chemist Dmitry Mendeleev published the first recognizable periodic table in 1869. Developed mainly to illustrate periodic trends of the then-known elements. He also predicted some properties of unidentified elements that were expected to fill gaps within the table. Most of his forecasts soon proved to be correct, culminating with the discovery of gallium and germanium in 1875 and 1886, respectively, which corroborated his predictions. Mendeleev's idea has been slowly expanding and refined with the discovery or synthesis of further new elements and the development of new theoretical models to explain chemical behavior. The modern periodic table now provides a useful framework for analyzing chemical reactions and continues to be widely used in chemistry, nuclear physics, and other sciences. Some discussion remains ongoing regarding the placement and categorization of specific elements, the future extension and limits of the table, whether there's an optimum form of the table. It's quite a mouthful, but I hope it gives you some understanding of the sophistication and complexity of the periodic table. So as I've stated above, the discovery of the full table of elements took place over many years as human beings gained more and more knowledge. The periodic table is one of the key elements of what makes the entire creation possible. It required a highly sophisticated and highly visionary agency to create this before any matter could be created. Then on top of this, a massive diversity of compounds were created and continue to be created using these building blocks to give rise to all that's in the universe, from the most microscopic organism on Earth to the majesty of the planets in the universe. There is no way that this table could have come into existence in a random self-inventing process. There has to have been a highly intelligent and visionary creative agency. Note that the complexity of the universe with millions, if not billions, of stars, planets, etc., is such that this certainly developed progressively over millions of years at the very least. So I hope you're getting my point here. The different elements of what makes up matter, what makes up the rocks, what makes up the gas clouds, what makes up the ice, what makes up the suns, what makes up the planets. All of that matter required to be designed and specified and created before anything could happen. There couldn't be a big bang until a humongous clump of stuff had been created with all these different components in it. Remember, there's gold and silver and beryllium and so forth. All of these things had to be designed, specified, and created. The whole table of periodic table had to be designed, and then the elements of that table created before the universe could come into existence. And that is such an important point to note. Then air and water prove there's a creator. As an extension of the previous point, there are a wide variety of molecules and compounds that are necessary for the universe, the solar system, this planet, plants, animals, and human beings to exist. Perhaps the most notable are air and water. About 60% of the human body is water, and water makes up a material component of all plants and animals. Without water, there could not be life, and without water, living organisms die. How did a random evolutionary process know to create water before it could create life? Frankly, I find the idea really rather silly. It's my contention that there has to have been a creative agency with a clear view of where things were going in order to first create hydrogen and oxygen and then create water, H2O, that's two molecules of hydrogen to one molecule of oxygen, bonded together. And that's water, and water is so universally important, whether you're looking at icebergs or glaciers, or you're looking at a cup of water on the that you drink before you go to bed, or that you mix in all sorts of foodstuffs. Water is just absolutely ubiquitous, but somebody had to design it. Similarly, without air, virtually all plants and animals, and certainly human beings, could not exist. Note that air is a carefully balanced mixture of nitrogen, oxygen, carbon dioxide, water vapors, and some other gases. Note that oxygen on its own would be explosive, so careful thought went to the composition of air, and this again had to be completed and air created in the atmosphere around Earth before any plants or animals, let alone human beings, could be created. Again, the point I want to make to you is very sophisticated things were carefully thought out and created before the next stage of the process could happen. Then diversity of foods proves there's a creator. We find ourselves with a huge diversity of plant and animal foodstuffs that we can consume, not just in order to exist, but in order to thrive and enjoy life. In some random evolutionary process, how would the plants and animals, while evolving in some random progression, know to create such a diversity of delightful tastes and textures and plant and animal components that human beings and animals might consume and enjoy, as well as finding them highly nutritious? This again speaks to the existence of a highly imaginative creative agency. Think about it, folks. I just see this when I sit down to a meal, particularly if it's a meal that's a bit different to what I've previously eaten. You look at that and you say, just wow, how did that orange come into existence? How did that kiwi fruit come into existence? A banana, apple, peach, pear, plum, all distinctly different, all narrowly defined, delightful taste, nutritious. It's just impossible for all of that to just happen. yes, it was created in an evolutionary manner. And yes, Father Yah must have enjoyed himself saying, I wonder if I do this, what it'll taste like. And if I do that, what will it taste like? But imagine, he designed these things for us to enjoy eating them. Then domestic animals prove there's a creator. The existence of domestic animals, cattle for milk, beef and leather, sheep for meat and wool, chicken for eggs and meat, etc. Not to mention domestic cats and dogs, all point to a creator who wanted to ensure the greatest diversity of provision for the human beings he was planning to create. Again, so important. There is a huge difference between the domestic animals that I've just mentioned, the cattle, the goats, the sheep, that are husbanded and nurtured and looked after to produce milk, to produce meat, to produce leather, sheep, wool, etc. They're absolutely discrete and separate to the animals in the wild. And they have different dispositions, and they submit to human beings. Again, this is not about something of human beings went out and domesticated certain animals. No. Those animals were domestic from day one. If you read the account of Noah and the ark, the ship that survived the flood, he took domestic animals specifically. And when they came to get out of the ark, they sacrificed. They had a barbecue of one of those animals because they had taken more than one pair. So think about it. The next time you sit down to a nice roast meal, doesn't matter, beef, lamb, whatever, just think, how did Father know to create that? It didn't just happen. Then planet Earth and the universe prove that there is a creator. The complexity of the universe, the solar system, this planet, all point to a massive creative agency with a highly developed view of what was being created, such that the solar system and planet Earth operate in a stable and reliable environment in space that is suitable for this planet to have exactly the right atmosphere, gravitational field, etc., to support the diversity of life forms that exist on the planet. Again, this did not happen randomly or by accident. It was clearly designed and executed over a very long period of time in an incremental, that is, evolutionary manner. Note that in the process of creating the solar system and this planet in an evolutionary experimental manner, it is entirely probable that there are other solar systems and planets which are similar to ours, some of which were created and discarded before our system was created, and others that may be in the pipeline in case this experiment fails. So what I'm saying to you is, yes, it is entirely possible that there are other planets which are suitable for life. However, my understanding is that once a particular experiment was judged a failure, though anything that had been created in it was discarded into the fire of lake and brimstone and utterly destroyed. So I don't think we're going to find life on other planets. I think we may well find signs of life on other planets. But again, the point I would make, the complexity of planet Earth, the sophistication from a design point of view, proves there is a creator. And then my contention is that sexual reproduction proves there's a creator. The vast majority of animals and most of the more advanced forms of plants reproduce sexually. In other words, male reproductive organs produce male gametes, reproductive cells, which are transferred to the female reproductive organs where they fuse with the female gametes. This can be through sexual intercourse, as in human beings and mammals, or it can be through forms of pollination by bees, wind, or other agencies, as in some types of plant, or in other ways. In the case of butterflies and most insects, the adult male forms or the butterfly fertilizes the female adult, who then lays eggs. These eggs hatch and turn into caterpillars, which in time pupate and form a chrysalis, which in time hatches into a butterfly. It is vital to recognize in all of these situations that this mechanism is a central component of ensuring that the species continues to exist and maintains its characteristics for innumerable generations. It is also vital to recognize that all components of the cycle have to work perfectly in order to produce the next generation and therefore in order to ensure the continuation of the species. This being so, it is mechanically impossible for these plants and animals to have developed in an evolutionary self-inventing manner. All components had to be created together and all had to function effectively and reliably, else the species would die out at the first generation. Note that in the case of a bird's nest, it is necessary for the bird to even know how to craft the nest, lay its eggs in the nest, and then sit on the eggs and incubate them. All of this requires enduring programming by the creator. This again points to a highly precise and highly inventive creative agency who created all of these components and made them function together. Folks, I'm sorry if you've got sort of aversion to talking about sex, but sex is a fundamental part of human existence. It is so important to understand that we cannot have just amorphously have progressively somehow evolved. And then one day we decided, okay, I've evolved into a woman, I've evolved into a man, we fit together perfectly at a sexual level, we fit together perfectly at an emotional and psychological level, and we're now going to have sex, and we're going to stop morphing in an evolutionary manner, and we're going to now breed by the male ejaculating seed into the female having an egg that's ready to receive it, which goes into her womb, grows into a human being over 9 months and then comes to birth and is nurtured and trained for the next 20 years until they become an adult and they can play a role in society. Think about it. There is no ways that that happened by some amorphous one-cell animal that came into some strange existence in some pea soup millions of years ago, turned into that. I'm sorry, but it's really unwise and foolish to try and argue that. There has to have been a creator. There has to be a creator. It seems so obvious to me. I'm sorry if you don't see it. Then sexual lovemaking proves there's a creator. Sexual lovemaking manifests in some birds and animals and is highly pronounced in human beings. In many birds and even some insects, there are courtship rituals before mating. In human beings, those who are moderately sensitive, who become romantically involved with another human being and experience an emotion that we call love, that can become extremely strong and intense, such that two people in love can communicate telepathically across great distances. The phenomenon of both partners sending a message on their mobile phones at exactly the same moment, for example. This phenomenon that we call love, associated with sexual lovemaking, serves little or no purpose in a world where everything happens as a string of random stochastic evolutionary events. In such a world, there is no need, and indeed there is no place for love, affection, etc. These are major spiritual forces that again point to the hand of a loving, imaginative, and creative genius who put this all together so that these intangible feelings and emotions would work in and through us. Think about it. How did two beings that amorphously evolutionary happened from a one-cell amoeba over millions of years, suddenly wake up one day and say, I love you. I can't bear the thought of not being with you. look at the absolute torment that a human being goes through if its love partner is destroyed in an accident. Happens in certain birds and animals as well. How would something that just, if, I'm sorry, folks, doesn't make any sense whatsoever, then at the risk of offending your sensitivities, I just ask you to bear with me on this point because it's an important point. I want to suggest for your consideration that the clitoris proves that there is a creator. Women and many female animals have a clitoris, an organ that serves no useful purpose except to stimulate intense sexual pressure at a level that causes the female to desire sexual intercourse over and above what is required for reproduction and in the human sexual foreplay. The clitoris cannot have evolved. How did it know to exist to produce sexual pleasure? How did sexual pleasure know to exist? This certainly requires the involvement of a sensitive and creative agency intending to create a highly sophisticated being which enjoyed sexual lovemaking. And there's all sorts of other bits about the sensitive nature of the vagina, the sensitive nature of the whole pubic area in both the male and the female, the sensitivities of the male penis, the ability to have an intense sexual orgasm through appropriate stimulation and lovemaking, which is a significant psychological component. And if you've never, as a human being, gone to the fullness of your potential and had an intense orgasm, you're not going to know what I'm talking about. But I have to say to you that there is no way that that happened without a creative agency who said, I want these beings that I'm creating to enjoy sex. Then DNA proves there is a creator. Wikipedia reports deoxyribonucleic acid DNA is a molecule composed of two polynucleotide chains that coil around each other to form a double helix carrying genetic instructions for the development, functioning, growth, and reproduction of all known organisms and many viruses. DNA and ribonucleic acid RNA are nucleic acids, alongside proteins, lipids, and complex carbohydrates, polysaccharides. Nucleic acids are one of the four major types of macromolecules that are essential for all known forms of life. If you go to the article on the website, this goes on for about a page or more. I'm not going to read it to you because it's pretty heavy going. But from the above quote, I want to stress development, functioning, growth, and reproduction of all known organisms. I suggest for your consideration that this again points to a creative genius who developed a model for the reproduction and maintenance of consistent standards in virtually all living organisms, plant, animal, and human, before creation began. This model had to work for the most elementary organisms, and it still has to work for the most sophisticated organism, human beings. There is no way that such a sophisticated and versatile mechanism could have evolved in a random evolutionary process. That said, I stress again that the progressive creation of more and more sophisticated entities took place in an experimental or evolutionary manner. Again, here we have something that had to be invented and created before even the most simple organism could be created. We use the word DNA to represent the absolute essence of who we are. And it programs everything about the plant, animal, or human being. And it's common in plants and animals and human beings. How on earth did that happen randomly? Then controlled randomness proves there's a creator. Security systems are built on a phenomenon that I call controlled randomness. Every human being is recognizably the same at a macro level, but at a micro level, every human being is unique, one-off. For example, fingerprints are unique, retina patterns are unique, faces are unique. All of these attributes are used in security systems in complete confidence that they are not repeated in any two human beings. Controlled randomness also exists with plants, animals, and even minerals. For example, it is claimed that no two snowflakes are identical. So we have a phenomenon where every human being is different at a micro level, and every human being is the same on a macro level. Thus, we find that the reproductive process rigorously controls the pattern for the offspring of any male-female pair to be a precise merge of the attributes of the two parents. And yet, within that controlled process, every person is measurably unique. This is not the outcome of some random progressive evolutionary process. It is the outcome of a creative genius who set out to design and build beings of this complexity. Again, just look at the complexity, the sophistication. How on earth did this come about without a creator? Then discrete forms prove there's a creator. In considering plants and animals, it is vital to recognize that all these living organisms exist in discrete forms. Thus, with each family, there are a range of discrete forms, each of which has distinct nuances. Citrus is recognizably citrus. Apples are distinctly apples. Cats are distinctly cats. Dogs are distinctly dogs. Humans are distinctly humans, etc. In the event of a random progressive evolutionary development of these forms, there would be innumerable intermediate forms and certainly not the discrete classes that we have in the world around us. These discrete forms speak clearly of a creative genius who created distinct forms as an expression of creativity and to give humankind quality products to enjoy. Again, think about it. You get cats in all sorts of shapes and sizes and colors, but they're all recognizably cats. And that comes to the DNA. So you can have big cats and small cats. You can have cats with long, shaggy hair. You can have cats with very short hair. You can have tall cats and short cats, long cats. But they stay within the confines of being a cat. Now, how do you think that that happened randomly and then all of a sudden it froze? It said, we're going to stop varying and we're going to stop changing. It just doesn't make any sense, folks. Please think about it. That's all for today. I'm just going to wrap up as usual. This will be continued in the next broadcast next week. I hope you'll be able to join me. So I want to wrap up by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, I've spent the last 40 minutes or so, 50 minutes, talking to you about the wealth of evidence that points to the existence of the Creator. And then you have to ask the question, why did he do that? Why did he go to such extreme lengths to create all of this? The answer is simple. He was lonely. He'd always been there, and he decided he wanted somebody to talk to. So he went through this whole process to create an environment where he could create beings who could have a conversation with him, who he could get involved in their lives, and they could get to know him, and he could get to know them, and they could do things together. there is no other explanation for why you exist. And if you don't get that and you carry on as though he doesn't exist, you're going to die one day and you're going to wake up to the reality that he does exist and that you've been rejected for eternity. That's a horrible thought. You don't want to go there. A few items on the website, some key documents and a video Why Seek Relationship, The Miracle of Yeshua's Death, that the Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you, 7 components in drawing close to the Creator, recommended worship, the Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, the essence of my message to Christians. There are also articles for Jews, Muslims, and other faiths and unbelievers, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in the series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available on the website, www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts, or search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. As I said earlier, there are at least 4 podcast websites with back issues. Books and the recent broadcasts, the TV broadcasts, are also on LinkedIn and YouTube. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. To be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. All of that's in the top bar of the website. The keyword cloud is tens of thousands of alphabetically sorted words that index the articles, at 2,500 articles roughly, and the Google search and the table of contents index and search the web pages. There's about 1,200 web pages. Huge amount of information, answers to many of your questions. And if you don't find the answer there, email me. So in closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, Father is not concerned whether you are educated or uneducated, whether you are rich or poor, whether you're tall or short, whether you're thin or fat, whether you're blonde, blue eyes, or black hair and brown eyes, or anything in between. He's not concerned whether you're a Satanist, a witch, a warlock, a Christian, a Jew, a Muslim, Baha'i, Buddhist, Confucius, whatever. He's not concerned whether you come from Africa or Asia or Europe or North America or South America, wherever. He wants you to become his friend. He will meet you wherever you are. Forget all this other stuff that people have put in the way of having a relationship with him. There are a hang of a lot of sincere people who are talking a lot of rubbish. This is for you right now. He wants you to say, Father, I want to become your friend. Thank you so much. Have a good evening. Goodbye. Father, I come.